Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Trump has reportedly stopped picking up calls from numbers that are not in his contacts, which is surprising, since you'd think he'd jump at the chance to pick up a call that says scam likely.
I think you and I are going to have a lot in common. Scam likely.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live. But first, a closer look.
After more classified documents were found at the homes of President Biden and former Vice President Mike Pence, Donald Trump's supporters in the GOP and on Fox News claimed Trump had been vindicated while also spreading wild conspiracy theories about the news. But if anything, the cases of Biden and Pence make Trump's potentially criminal behavior look a lot worse. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Supporters in the GOP and on Fox News have been twisting themselves in knots over the revelations about classified documents found at the homes of Trump, Biden, and Pence. For example, when the news first broke that the FBI had searched Mar-a-Lago last year and discovered top-secret documents that Trump had lied about having and refused to give back, you might recall that many Republicans dismissed it as a non-scandal. They threw out every excuse they could think of. It was a storage issue. The FBI was just fishing. They planted evidence. Or even that Trump was just a little sloppy because he didn't have time to pack.
This is really, at its core, a storage argument. I don't think a fight over storage of documents is worthy of what they've done.
This was a fishing expedition. It was an old-fashioned fishing expedition. I actually think it had little to nothing to do with classified documents.
No one trusts the FBI or the DOJ anymore. I don't trust them any further than I can throw that entire building. If they told me that they found something, I wouldn't know that they actually found it there, or if they just said they found it there.
Who is to say, in this kind of case, that some of the documents supposedly seized were not planted there to begin with?
Do I know that the boxes of material they took from Mar-a-Lago, that they won't put things in those boxes to entrap him? How do we know that they're going to be honest with us about what's actually in the boxes?
When the president moves out of the White House, you have effectively, 6 hours to move out of the White House. It's effectively inauguration time where one president gets moved out and one president gets moved in.
No, you don't have 6 hours. You have 2 months. But unfortunately, your dad spent those 2 months bitching and moaning and planning a coup to stay in power. And then when it didn't work out and the moving van showed up, he just screamed, oh, grab everything and run. Your dad was the first president to leave office like a looter at Best Buy during a blackout. You guys are acting like the inauguration is a surprise party where they keep the date secret until the last minute. I don't remember Joe Biden walking into the Capitol, flicking the lights on and seeing thousands of people assembled. Whoa! What the hell is this? Although it is very hard to surprise Joe Biden. He is always on alert. That's why he tiptoes into every room like someone about to pop out from behind a couch, and he freezes every time he hears a noise. You hear, Aunt Kathy? I can hear you breathing. Then there was also the ridiculous excuse that Trump is just a nostalgic guy who loves to save little mementos and keepsakes.
My father-in-law, as anybody knows who's been around him a lot, loves to save things like newspaper clippings, magazine clippings, photographs.
My father always kept clippings, press clippings. He would have, newspaper articles, pictures, notes from us.
He saves every note I've ever given him. In fact, he has a special storage bin where he puts them. He showed it to me. Actually, I think I know where Trump puts notes from his weird adult sons. I'm not going to say where, but it would explain why he's always talking about this.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once.
You gotta flush 15 times, otherwise you'll never get rid of that big stack of Father Day cards. So those were all the excuses Trump supporters offered when Trump got caught with hundreds of classified documents that he lied about and refused for over a year to turn over, despite multiple requests and a subpoena. But then, when Biden found and voluntarily turned over a much smaller cache of documents from his time as a senator and vice president, Republicans suddenly changed their tune and claimed it was a national security emergency because, unlike Trump, Biden supposedly did not have the power to declassify documents.
The president has the authority to declassify documents. Now, the question is whether or not the president actually declassified the documents. The vice president does not have the authority to declassify.
President Trump, as president, has the right to declassify documents. So the media should cover the fact that the FBI has been weaponized against President Trump and clearly has covered up for sitting President Joe Biden.
Let's be very clear. Like we said from the beginning, a former vice president or anybody else has no ability to remove classified documents. Former presidents are different.
Joe Biden conceivably stole those documents. What people need to understand is the president of the United States is the only one that can declassify documents, not the vice president. For Joe Biden to steal documents and have possession of them, this is a serious investigation.
This is very serious, and that is why I'm calling on QAnon and the Jewish Space Laser to step in and investigate, and it should be easy to track everyone's movements using the microchip Bill Gates planted in the COVID vaccine. Which I appreciate he did now. First of all, that's flat out wrong. Biden did have the power to declassify the documents as vice president. That doesn't mean he should have had them in his home. He shouldn't have. Although, again, as we stated before, it's not exactly surprising to me that Joe Biden didn't take document security seriously during his time as Obama's vice president. I mean, look at him. That is definitely the face of a dude who might take documents and who definitely has a bunch of towels at home with hotel names on them. So Trump supporters had to pivot when the documents were found at Biden's home. Then they got thrown for yet another loop when classified documents were also found at the home of Vice President Mike Pence. Some Republicans responded to the news by just throwing their hands up and saying, screw it. Like Lindsey Graham, who, instead of making a political point, decided to just make a joke.
You got Trump, you got Pence, you got Biden. The only thing I think you'll find at my house is a bunch of Chick-fil-A bags on the floor.
Okay, but in fairness, there's a good chance those were stolen from the Trump White House, too. It would not surprise me if Trump wrote classified on every fast food box that came through there. Other Trump supporters, however, tried to thread the needle by claiming Trump and Pence were innocent, but Biden was somehow guilty, like Ted Cruz, who called the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago a fishing expedition. Cruz demanded more FBI searches of Biden and his family while also dismissing the Pence news as no big deal.
I believe the FBI needs to search the residences of Hunter Biden and any business offices of Hunter Biden to determine if there are classified materials there.
Just as an addendum to this, the news came out today, I'm sure you saw it, that former Vice President Mike Pence, a friend of both of ours, he's found some classified documents, I think at his home in Indiana, not in his office. What do you make of that?
Oh, look, the Mike Pence story, it's still early. Mike Pence, and as you noted, he is a good friend. He's a good man. He's explained where these came from. That was a mistake, but there's no reason to think it was anything but inadvertent.
Within a matter of seconds, he went from saying the FBI should search the president's son, who has no connection to any of this, to brushing off the Pence news as inadvertent. Why are you calling on the FBI to search Mike Pence's other properties, like his office or that happy place in his head he goes to when he's in a meeting with Donald Trump? Other Fox hosts tried other excuses, like claiming Pence's mistake was understandable because he didn't have much time to leave the White House.
Biden says he was in a rush to pack up his stuff after his vice presidency. Wait a second. I think Mike Pence was in a little bit more of a rush. Remember that transition? And Biden knew he was leaving the White House. It had been 8 years. You're not allowed to stay any longer. Pence was looking around saying, wait, is Trump going to pull this off?
Wait, you think Mike Pence, known for, among other things, the January 6th rioters chanting, hang Mike Pence, didn't pack because he was waiting to see if the coup would succeed? If I spend all day packing boxes and writing on them with a Sharpie and then I get killed, I'm gonna feel so stupid. And we know Pence wasn't in a rush to pack because we've seen what he looks like when he's in a rush. He claps when he runs. If Pence had been rushing to pack up his office on the last day, you would have heard this sound coming from the White House.
Mike? Mike, are you clapping?
And then after they made excuses, they moved on to baseless speculation. For example, Fox host Laura Ingraham wanted to know why the FBI hadn't searched President Obama's home and office yet.
On the issue of Obama, it is curious why the DOJ hasn't requested access to his many offices across the country, given the fact that a majority of Biden's documents came from his administration.
I have no idea whether any classified documents will show up at his house, but if there's one person I'm willing to bet did things the right way, it was Obama. Plus, let's not forget, he left office and his life immediately got way better. He's not moping around a country club stealing the mic at weddings to bitch about witch hunts. He's hanging with celebrities, kite surfing, and having the top button from all his shirts removed. When he left the White House, they probably say, do you want any of these documents? And he said, you can keep it. By the way, we tape this show way before it's on TV. So if they find documents at Obama's house between now and airtime, they were planted by James Corden to make me look bad. The only other politician who I can possibly imagine would have no interest in taking classified documents would be Bernie Sanders.
I don't want your documents for too long. The top 1% of politicians has had 99% of the documents. We need to redistribute the documents. Everyone can have a fair share of the documents.
Other Trump allies reached for distractions like Sean Hannity, who brushed off the Pence news and turned his attention to someone else. And you will never guess who.
I think Mike Pence was watching everything with the Biden top secret documents, et cetera, et cetera. He initiated his own investigation just to double check. He immediately called the FBI when they found a couple of documents, Matt Gaetz, and handed them over and worked with the officials. But that's not the issue to me. The issue is, how was Hillary Clinton treated?
Oh, my God, dude, let it go. She already had her presidential campaign destroyed by a never-ending saga over classified emails, and now she's got to sit around and watch as basically every other living president or vice president opens up a cereal box labeled at home, oops, all classified. Just get a new thing. Find literally anything else to obsess over. Go back to whining about how M&Ms are too woke now or something. Although, if you ask me, Mars missed a huge opportunity. They shouldn't have canceled the candy mascots. They should have just jumped on the news and introduced a new gray M&M who steals classified documents. Probably the craziest reaction to the Pence news has come from Fox host Tucker Carlson, who concocted an elaborate fantasy where the DOJ asked Pence to look for the documents, assuming he had none, in order to make Trump look bad by comparison, so that they could then prosecute Trump.
It wasn't so long ago that Pence was on television saying he was sure he had no classified documents in his possession. He said that a few times. Then just days ago, Mike Pence sent his personal attorney to search his family's home in Carmel, Indiana for classified documents. Now, if Mike Pence didn't think he had classified documents, why would he send his lawyer to go look for classified documents? We can't say for certain, but it's entirely possible, in fact, it's likely, that Mike Pence was asked to do this by federal prosecutors who are trying to build a case against his old boss, Donald Trump. Now, the point would be to show that not every federal official walks off with state secrets. Donald Trump was uniquely evil in that regard, as in so many others. See, Mike Pence didn't do it. So if that was the plan, and we suspect that it was, it backfired spectacularly.
And if that was the plan, what else were they planning? It's possible. In fact, it's likely they were planning on asking Mike Pence to go undercover as Donald Trump. And if that was the plan, how would they do it? Would they have arrested Donald Trump so they could perform an experimental surgery wherein they remove Donald Trump's face and swap it with Mike Pence, just like they did to John Travolta and Nicolas Cage? And if that was the plan, Then what else were they planning? Would the real Donald Trump, now wearing Mike Pence's face, have escaped, forced to live his life as Mike Pence? And would the real Mike Pence, now disguised as Donald Trump, have to chase him down and prove his true identity? And if that was the plan, and we suspect it was, it backfired spectacularly because they forgot one thing. Mike Pence can catch Donald Trump because Mike Pence runs like this. In reality, the Biden and Pence revelation showed this is a lot more commonplace than most of us realized, and that if Trump had just given the documents back when asked, there wouldn't have been a problem. Instead, he lied and obstructed for over a year. That's what makes this case different. That and the fact that he probably had top-secret documents stuffed inside
Chick-fil-A bags on the floor.
This has been A Closer Look.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
This is an Emmy-nominated actor and comedian you know from the film Fire Island and shows like Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. And, of course, Saturday Night Live, which airs this Saturday on NBC and is streamed live on Peacock with host Michael B. Jordan and musical guest Lil Baby. Please welcome back to the show our friend Bowen Yang!
You.
So I was just saying to our last guest that you are, this is for real, you're a big Alex Wagner fan.
Huge Alex Wagner fan. I think she filled in that role on The Mole so well. And like, it's perfect. Like, she has that mid-aughts Anderson Cooper vibe about her.
Yeah.
And like, she like, you know, is cool, really good at talking to everybody, could be a Vanderbilt, you don't know.
Now, Anderson Cooper's version of The Mole, this was a very important show to you.
Yes, it was very important to me and my sister. We'd just moved to the U.S. from Canada. It was like one of the first shows we watched, and it was riveting television. My sister loved it so much that she themed her like 12th birthday party after The Mole and like had her own game of The Mole, and I was like on the side PAing the whole thing. Like, I was like going, I was like whispering into people's ears, these like girls' ears, like, okay, like, so we're gonna go into elimination now, and like someone's gonna leave, and it's gonna be okay. But like, I was running the whole show. Like, I was a PA. I was producing the whole thing. It was amazing.
Did you ever get to tell people it's time for you to leave the party or anything like that?
I think I did the Alex Wagner thing, which is she walks the people to their car. And I think I just walked them over to the living room.
Yeah. You have a wonderful podcast called Las Culturistas about
yes. Pop culture. Oh my gosh, really?
What is?
Wow.
With your great host Matt Rogers.
Yes.
Too. You're fantastic.
Oh my God, the best.
What's big in pop culture right now that we're not talking about?
Are you ready to hear this, everybody?
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying this as an employee of NBC Universal. But the most happening thing in pop culture right now is Peacock. It's Peacock.
It's Peacock.
It's Peacock. You got The Traitors. You have every Real Housewives, including The Real Housewives of Miami, which is currently the best franchise.
Okay, great.
Because it features Lenny Hochstein, the boob god of Miami.
Okay, boob god.
He gives every woman a boob job
okay.
in Miami.
Whether they want it or not.
Whether they want it or not. Yeah. Compulsory boob jobs, which is a DeSantis policy. sorry, but like, it's, but he cheated on his wife, Lisa, who's one of the housewives, and now he's currently the most hated man on television, I think.
And we're all rooting for Lisa.
And we're hugely rooting for Lisa. She is, he tried to kick her out of their house with the kids, and she was like, no, I'm staying and I'm raising these two children. She's amazing. Lisa Hochstein, I'm with you. I support you.
That's very nice of you.
Love her.
Of course, another thing, and again, this is not brand crossover, but another thing, of course, you can watch on Peacock is SNL.
It's SNL.
You had a double duty as George Santos. You did him on Update and in the cold open.
And in the cold open.
So good you did him twice. Now, did you have in the back of your head, as this sort of George Santos story was building, did you think, I'm the guy to play it?
I didn't think so because I was kind of just not sure what his deal was. Like, any of us, like, weren't sure. But what if I just came on the show right now to be like, I believe him.
Like, I lived as him for a night.
Yes,
and I believe him.
I believe
him.
The guy. No, but I just, like, I was like, oh, he has glasses and he, you know, we both have, like, a gross nasally voice. So, like, maybe I'm the guy. And so I asked around, and then we, like, wrote this Weekend Update feature with Allison Gates and Kent Sublette, and then they added him in the cold open on Friday night. And I was like, this is going to be overkill, but he is overkill, so
yeah.
it all worked out.
Is it weird impersonating someone who is clearly always trying to be a different person as well?
Yes, yeah. Right? Like, you can't get, like, a hold on him as a person. Like, you're like, who is this guy? And, like, even the way he talks, I think, is a little, like, I mean, like, he's either, like, freshly had the lip filler in and he's, like, not enunciating his words right, or he's just talking about how he slayed Harvard and Yale in volleyball. You're like, what is this guy's deal?
You played another one that must have been fun because you didn't obviously have to look at tape to be accurate to the actual person.
Right.
Is it, what's his name again?
This is Krampus.
Krampus.
This is Krampus, the famous Bavarian Christmas mythological figure.
Yeah.
He is just a little burnt out after.
Yeah. It was really, it was one of those wonderful update features where your attitude and vibe did not match the costuming at all.
Right, right.
And I should know, when you came out, you had two horns and one horn fell off.
Yes.
And I'm going to say this, and this is no small praise. This is maybe one of my favorite costume malfunctions because both you and Colin, I give praise to both. Both of you really rolled with it in a very nice way.
Well, I should say that I anticipated some malfunction because right before I get rolled off, the horn falls off.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, I better come up with something in case this happens again. And it's like I almost like preempt it. Like I say that I was just basically like, oh no, I'm sick. And then Colin was like, you have horn sickness. And I kind of the words leave my mouth right as it falls, as if I like willed it to happen. And so I don't know. It's like a premeditated costume.
Yeah. In the end, though, I really appreciate it. You guys rolled through it.
You
did not make it all about the horn sickness, but it was a very nice moment.
Yeah.
I have a lot more questions. We'll be back with more from Bo and Yang, everybody. You guys, we're back here. We're late night. We're chatting with Bo and Yang. It's very exciting. I know it must be also exhausting, but when you're off from SNL, you were going over to London because you were working on Wicked.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's so cool.
This is amazing. This is a film version of Wicked.
Yes.
You're not just going over to do, like, a show over there.
Which I would happily do. because especially because the cast on the West End of Wicked just fully digs into the British accent. And it's so funny. They're like, we're going to see the Wizard of Oz. It's really funny. It's really funny. But it's great. No, we're doing the movie. And it's crazy.
And this is a show that meant something to you.
Yes. Okay, so the second time I ever came to New York, first time I like went into Manhattan, it was 2005. Wicked had just come out a year and a half before. I was obsessed with it. I was besotted by the songs. And then I came to New York, and then I begged my parents to buy tickets. It was the hottest ticket in town. We couldn't go. And I was like, well, can we at least drive up to the Gershwin Theater? So I can press my face up against the glass. And so we went. It was the most pathetic sight.
Because it's not like, from my knowledge of Broadway theaters, the glass, you don't, like, get to see the set or anything.
You don't get to see the set, but you get to see the lobby.
Yeah.
You get to sort of touch things that touch the floor that lead to the stage. So you're kind of like, you're sort of like a couple degrees away. And so we couldn't do that, but what we did do was we came to this building for the NBC studio tour. We got to go over to the SNL studio and like sit there. And I was like, this isn't as cool as Wicked.
It must be very nice. Do you ever reflect back on the fact that you're now working on the two things that you, one, were on an underwhelming tour of, and two, you couldn't get tickets for?
Yes, I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy full circle. It's also amazing that they're both Universal Studios projects. Watch Peacock. But
so much synergy.
So much synergy.
The synergy is red hot coming off you.
But I promise it's genuine. Like, I love Peacock so much. I really do. Poker Face starring Natasha Lyonne is premiering.
Really good.
It's really, really good. Really good. Yeah. But no, it's crazy. It is full circle, though.
Now, this is a musical. Is there a choreography involved
with
your role?
Choreography involved. So John M. Chu is directing the film, and he is still working with choreographers that he's been with since Step Up 2. And I was really intimidated going into this. I was like, I'm not a dancer. I don't know really how to move.
Just from watching SNL, I do feel like you are very good at sketch comedy choreography, right? Like that.
Which
I know
is just the arms. Like they're never panning down.
Oh, that's interesting. I have been fooled by your arm work.
There. Exactly. That's all sketch comedy dancing really is. But I was really scared to do this, and then I went in and I thought I was doing okay, and then these lovely choreographers are validating you at every turn. They're going, "That's amazing! Oh my goodness!" And then Christopher Scott, the choreographer, looked me in the eyes and said, "Bowen, you're a dancer." And I was like, "Wow, I felt that." The next week, we're all on set, and some of the other actors who are also not trained professional dancers and I are talking about the choreography. We're like, "Oh, it's pretty complicated, but like I think I have a good handle on it." And then two of them were like, "Yeah," and Christopher Scott like looked me in the eyes and was like, "You're a dancer." I was like, "Oh, so I'm not that special, I guess." But it's gonna be great. It's gonna be so good.
So you're not selling this movie.
It's not.
Look, I just cannot stress to you how much the choreographer lies to us.
Yes. Lies, but also ultimately like gives you the boost you need.
I think the boost is more important. In the early days of learning choreography, I think a boost is far better. Yes. I would respond better to a boost than the hard truth.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like watch me like get cut out of the movie from dancing.
Yeah. Well, the best is every shot of you dancing is definitely gonna be from here up. Yeah. A lot of arm work.
And then people at home are gonna be like, "That's amazing sketch dancing in this movie."
And then it's gonna cut to like definitely someone else's legs moving real fast.
Yeah.
You get to go to London. I know it must be hard because you're obviously working when you're there. Are you enjoying the city at all?
I am. I'm really enjoying the city. The only note I have for London is that they don't understand what the concept of iced coffee is.
Is that true? Like, even in this day and age?
I kind of think so. Like, anywhere in Europe, you go, "Can I have an iced coffee?" And they look at you like you've asked for, like, a lobster thermidor or something. I'm like, "I just want coffee on ice." And they go, "So an Americano?" I'm like, "No, just, like, give me an iced coffee, please." And they also, London is trying to, like, veer in the other direction. They should embrace tradition, reject modernity, go back to meat pies. You can't find a good meat pie in London.
Are you looking?
I'm looking for a meat pie. It's like, it's not even like a Sweeney Todd thing anymore. There's no like worst pies in London. There's no pies in
now,
London.
Now, did you, why, where does this craving for a meat pie come from? Is it just an expectation you had of London?
It's that. It's me being like a Commonwealth baby, like being born in Australia, going to Canada. Like, meat pies are a thing that, like, I've accepted is never going to happen in America. Like, Americans just don't care for meat pies. But people who have the queen's face on their money, like, love it.
You know? So bring back the meat pies.
Bring back the meat pies.
All right, well, that is, so if there's anything to take away from this,
yes,
watch Peacock.
Yep.
Bring back the meat pies.
Yep. Bring back the meat pies. And Lenny Hochstein is dead in this town.
Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to see you. You guys, that's Bowen Yang. SNL this Saturday. Stream live on Peacock.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.